Blog Talk Radio.
They say the revolution won't be televised. I guess that's why the world turned and paused and mourned when Tupac and Malcolm died. All my bloods and thugs and Harlem Nights. Keep reading, keep writing, keep fighting for our queens. Fools, pawns, trading kings, lie for temporary cause and charms. I'm the son of Nat Turner, the godson of Nicki Giovanni, nephew of Asada Shakur, second son of Afeni Shakur. So you know the pride of the Panthers in me. Marcus Garvey's red, black, and green is in me. Fools getting shot down, locked up for material living. This is all genocide. Let's get free or die trying to save our nation and children. Let's get free or die trying to save our nation and children. Let's get free or die trying to save our nation and children.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
The ring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this. Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You son of bitches, get out and get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power. Black power, black power, black power, and more black power to my people. This is your brother, your soldier in arms and comrade in battle. This is Sean Kwali. Happy to be able to broadcast live once again to you from right here in the hells and the smells of North America. As always, I count this a privilege. I count this a joy. I count this an esteemed honor to be able to talk to you, my sisters, my brothers, and some others from this platform that we call and consider Black Power Radio, the revolutionary official broadcast of the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. It's my honor to be on with you and to open up, giving thanks in the African tradition, the Black tradition, the God of our forefathers and foremothers, who answers to many different names. In some parts of our mother continent, you hear the name Ukulukulu. In some parts of our motherland, you hear Yemenya. In some parts, you hear Obachala. In some parts, you may hear Oshun or Ogun. Some languages, some parts, you hear Asa and the feminine, Aset. You may hear Elohim. You may hear Jehovah. You might hear Allah. You might hear Lord God Almighty. In some parts of Southern Africa, they stick one finger up in the air and just give thanks to the God, the sustainer, the nourisher, and the cherisher of all our lives. And we do the same tonight on Black Power Radio, giving a mighty thanks for our ancestors, the original man and original woman, who most definitely is the mother and father of civilization, the black man and black woman who were the original architects, the first men and women on the planet, the first to walk in the light of the sun, the first to establish buildings and schools and centers of learning and higher learning, supreme learning, those who were the original government of the world, the righteous government to the world, not this wicked stuff. Those who were the original mathematicians and scientists and chemists, and those who were the original doctors, and those who were not practicing medicine, but those who were the healers of the world, we're thankful to them. And we're thankful that when our people fell amongst hard times and fell low and became kidnapped and found ourselves in treacherous conditions, that just like in ancient dates, that the warriors rose up to defend the people and to defend our nation and to defend our clans. The same thing happened here in the hills of North America. That when we were brought on the trade routes brought as slaves, that there were those who fought, not only when we got to Jamestown, Virginia, but there were those who fought all along this whole slave route on the ship, fought against Sir John Hawkins and the ship named Jesus of Lubeck, and fought against the old wicked demon slave traders who sold us for filthy pennies and filthy gold and that which they already had. Do the research. We're thankful for those who fought and who took lives and gave lives and made the ultimate sacrifice, and those who showed us what real freedom fighting looked like. When others would not stand and those would not take place in the rebellion, you had men like Nat Turner. You had women like Sojourner Truth. You had those like Denmark Vesey and Buchmann. You had those like Sister Ida B. Wells. You had those like Paul Robes and others who stood up in North America over different periods of time to wake us up and to pick us up from the mental grave of ignorance, suffering, shame, and death that has plagued our people for well over now 500 years. And as my comrades in Africa say, they say, a luta continua, the struggle continues. And as the great warrior and Baba of freedom fighting and the first to really champion that cause publicly on the soil, the Honorable Kwame Ture said of Black Power, he said that the struggle is continuous, it's eternal. It's an eternal struggle of good versus evil. And so here we are in 2013, of course, giving thanks for all of those who are presently fighting in different formations, giving thanks for every Panther regiment, giving thanks, of course, to Lowndes County, the Freedom Organization, Black Panther Party, giving thanks to Huey P. Newton, Minister and Doctor, and Bobby Seale, and the 60s and 70s formations, giving thanks to those in the Northern Branch, the Northern California Branch, who came up before Bobby and Huey. Thanks to those who came up in different formations and give you that Panther and gave us the Panther to fight and resist against oppression and taught us what it looked like in real form. Thankful for the Black Liberation Army that when an old no-good demon, wicked, cross-dressing, faggot, homosexual named J. Edgar Hoover put COINTELPRO in the mix and they attacked the Panther Party. And they attacked the Black Power movement. And they attacked the liberation struggle. We are thankful that the Black Liberation Army, although fractionalized, although splintered at times, continued to struggle and gave us great warriors like our warrior queen who we'll talk about tonight, Sister Queen Asada Shakur. We're thankful for her, thankful for them, thankful for Minister Malcolm X, Brother El Hajj Malik Shabazz, Brother Omowale. Thankful for his sacrifice. Thankful for him standing up as national spokesman of the Nation of Islam for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Thankful for him under trial and travail through COINTELPRO and pressure that even when he broke away, he held the line and formed the OAAU and formed the Muslim Mosque Incorporated and kept fighting and held the line, ultimately taken out and taken away from us. Thankful for him. Thankful for those who stood with him. Thankful for those in the latter days who stood with Martin Luther King Jr. when he switched his direction and told you to get up out of the war, told you to fight for the poor people, who switched his direction and said he feared that he may be integrating his people into a burning house. Thankful for those that stood with him in the last days, and to hell with the traitors. We have to give thanks on Black Power Radio for our upstart as an organization and a formation. Although misunderstood by many, we're thankful for those who began in 1989 in Dallas, Texas, and who did not want to see the end of the Panther struggle, did not want to see the end of those who would fight for black people at any cost, those who would educate our people at any cost, those who would work to liberate our people at any cost. We are thankful for those who began in 1989 when Huey P. Newton, minister, and Dr. Huey P. Newton was assassinated. We're thankful for those who began there. We have to give a mighty salute and a black power salute to a mighty general who comes to us up out of Dillard University, who comes to us from an excelled learning class and academy, who came to us as an educated warrior, who came from the ranks as supreme captain, who came as a trainer of men, who came as a regional warrior, who went into Africa and trained as a lieutenant with Idi Amin Dada, a black man who we know God worked with and worked in on this planet, as quiet as you try to keep it, a black man who told you he was 100% black man, who taught our people how to be uncompromising, how to be bold, how to be fearless, how to be courageous, how to look this bastard in the eye, and as he say, give the cracker hell from the cradle to the grave. I'm talking about a man who told you that that was his purpose, and a man who said he would unite us by any means as a united force, a Pan-African united force, and a liberation army. Talking about the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, in whose spirit we move, and in whose name we move. And got to give thanks for a man on the scene today who took over at the loss of our general under much pressure, under much travail, under much circumstance, but knew through the training of the Black Power General from 1988 on up until 2001 that he could not falter back into the streets. And he could not be some dude that just rolled back and started smoking weed and kicking his feet up. Couldn't be him. He was taught to hold the line and organize the people, and that if the general failed, you had to pick up the baton and pick up the sword. In our case, you pick up your guns. As you heard Doc say, you pick up your guns and you continue to fight. He's a man who I call the Pan-African attorney, or that Pan-African assassin. You call him the attorney at war, and he's the national chairman of the New Black Panther Party and the founder of Black Lawyers for Justice, Harvard Law graduate, passed the bar exam on the first time. For those of you who believe you can't be intelligent and still be a revolutionary, you must be most intelligent and revolutionary. I'm talking about our national chairman, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. It's my honor to be here with you and to bring to you Black Power Radio under this most heavy circumstance, under the most heaviest circumstance, as tonight we're not on this line to play. We're on this line to dig into some serious facts and to also talk about some serious subjects and to also make a few key announcements as we push forward with the Pan-African program of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad and the New Black Panther Party, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. We push forward in the spirit of a John Henry Clark, Ashe. We push forward tonight, but under some serious circumstances, because we have lost one of our soldiers, one of our warriors, one of our heroes, a brother who comes in the direct bloodline of that black power prophet, that fiery black nationalist organizer, the great minister Malcolm X, that man whom the Black Panther Party of the 1960s in the beginning said they were the sons and daughters of, and a man in whom spirit we come in as well. I'm telling you, the heart is heavy. My heart is heavy tonight as I look at the landscape and look at the way that our heroes and our sheroes are being attacked left and right, as we look at the increase by Aaron Ford and the FBI and the state of New Jersey on our queen warrior who was liberated after being shot in the back, hands raised in the air, after being stopped, talking about our queen warrior, Sister Asada Shakur, as the state of New Jersey and the FBI and other forces now have increased the pressure to capture our sister, Sister Queen Asada Shakur. And so now what we're looking at, as I will bring in here a brother who you must know and who will definitely go into the subject even deeper, as we're going to open up the phone lines as well and talk in an open-air discussion in the public. No one, nothing hidden behind no rock. Talk in the public about what's going on with the black community, the black nation in America, and talk about what's happening to our leaders, or those who are in the forefront, or as we say, those who have taken the vanguard position. What's going on in America? Since we now have a Democratic Obama administration, a black man in the White House, what's going on in America? Now that those who stand up and those who dissent, those who exercise constitutional objectives and constitutional rights, now you're being labeled as terrorists. Your ideology, the black nationalist, black liberation ideology, being labeled by Aaron Ford as terrorist ideology. What's going on in America? And the second thing you got to ask is, what in the hell are you scared of? As we look into tonight, we look into Malcolm Shabazz, Asada Shakur, and of course others. The devil's aim to stop the rise of a black messiah. Can we avert it? Can we avert what's coming down the pike? I'm talking about as a black nation, not just for the black nationalist community, not just for the Pan-Africanist community, not just for the RBG community, not just for anybody so-called conscious, but for black people in general, because it does not just affect those of us who say we're in a movement, or those of us who say we're in a formation, those of us who say we're freedom fighters. It affects all of us. It affects your mother. It affects your daughter. It affects your auntie, your uncle, your brother, your father, your whole family. This affects all of us as a people. Can we avert the enemy's aim and desire to stop the rise of a black messiah or black messiahs who would unite our people and pull us around black nationalism? That's the introduction tonight, as I welcome my first guest onto the show and welcome you on with us. This brother is on the West Coast, and he comes out of many different situations in life, having experience in what they call the gangs. We call them the street tribes or street organizations. And in making his way, after coming to contact with some soldiers and some warriors, and as we know, steel sharpens steel, he made his way during his time locked down to become a part of the formation of the Black Riders Liberation Party. Now, the general of the Black Riders Liberation Party, this brother is known as General Taco. And as I tell you 1,000 times, we're not talking about running for no border. We ain't talking about no snacks and no food. When we say Taco, we're talking about an acronym that means taking all capitalists out. Taking all capitalists out. I like to change the C sometimes and say taking all crackers out. However you want to flip it. You know, we can do that flip thing. But I want to bring our brother into the show right now and let him open up with us and also get to talk to us about things that they have going on, and also introduce what's going to be happening and see if we can get his support on this national truce that's coming up from the new Black Panther Party in terms of gang violence, so-called gang violence and gang and tribal warfares and religious violence and organizational violence. We're proposing and pushing a national truce to every black organization, whether street, tribe, religious, political, or what have you. We'll talk about it more tonight, but let me bring our brother here on, and he'll greet you. This is Brother General Taco Wolverine Shakur. Black power.
Power to the people. Black power. Can you hear me?
Black Power, can hear you well. Power to the people. Welcome to the show, brother. How are you tonight?
Man, I appreciate you being honored to even be on the show. You know, I love y'all to death, but tonight, man, you know, I'm pissed off at this shit that's been going on, you know, and it's real, real deep. So, you know, I want to get into it, but I just want to say Black Power and power to the people, to all those listening. And, you know, we got to put in work. All right.
Most definitely. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
But today we want to really open our minds up and really slow down and calm down, not in no passive way, but in an objective, scientific way, and really analyze the condition of our people here on the planet. And then we need to analyze the condition of all those who are oppressed on this planet. When we talk about Malcolm Shabazz and the bloodthirsty assassination that was just put down on the Black Liberation Movement. And then when we talk about Assata Shakur, who was the number one victory that was brought about by the Black Liberation Army, a victory that sustained us and nurtured us and showed us that, yes, victory is possible. If they can liberate that sister from the confines of a brutal concentration camp and send her to asylum in Cuba, it shows us that victory is possible, that the demons are not omnipotent, that the demons are not God. So once we take that into consideration, we got to look at not only just Malcolm Shabazz, but first we got to look at Malcolm X. What made Malcolm X so significant? What made Malcolm X so important to the point where they would hawk and stalk and murder and attempt to murder his whole bloodline? The whole Shabazz family has been under continual attack from COINTELPRO and the forces of the U.S. government. But why is this so? It's important for us to understand the true contribution that Malcolm X brought to the Black Liberation Movement. It is highly known that before Malcolm X even went to Hajj, after he broke away from the Nation of Islam, he had already been under orders from Elijah Muhammad to go from different African countries to different African leaders and establish connections around the world with different leaders who were oppressed and leading anti-colonial war. So when he broke away and finally went to Hajj, he just continued to develop those international connections. Now, what's important is for us to really grasp what was the importance of those international connections. What was Malcolm X trying to do in order for us to really grasp why they just brutally assassinated Malcolm Shabazz? It's important for us to understand the historical connection. Malcolm X was on the path. He had decided to bring up W.B. Du Bois' old concept about bringing America and its government in front of the U.N., the United Nations, which was a world court at the time, a global court. So when he began to travel around Africa, the demons tried to assassinate Malcolm X in France by poisoning him and banning him from even entering into the country. If you study Malcolm X, you'll see this was the first major attempted assassination. And obviously, if this attempted assassination took place in France, it couldn't have been the Nation of Islam. It couldn't have been his numerous other enemies. It had to be the Europeans. It had to be the white man. It had to be the oppressor of all of our people who really was involved. See, we like to get into the name game and the blame game and want to look at our own people as bringing about the destruction of our leadership, when in reality, they just use a black face to do the goddamn dirty work. They'll use a brown face to do the goddamn dirty work. They'll use anybody of color to make an appear that is never them. It is always us killing each other. And by doing that, they neutralize our outrage. They neutralize our need to respond and retaliate against these brutal assassinations. So when we look at Malcolm X, we got to understand that by him going from different African leaders and different revolutionary leaders across the globe on an international level, he was trying to develop support. He was trying to turn the weak, meek, and passive nonviolent civil rights movement into an armed self-defense, armed struggle. human rights movement that will be international in scope. So the CIA, the Fed, and all the other demons of the U.S. government began to see Malcolm X as more of a threat than ever when he developed those African connections and those connections to those dignitaries, because each one of those African countries had the ability to cast a vote within the World Court, within the U.N., to tell them that it is true, it is facts that the U.S. government is guilty of genocide against black people. Now, why is that important? We have to understand that the World Court, even though they may have admitted to commit genocide on black people, the reality was they would destroy their future foreign policy if this was ever acknowledged, if this was ever exposed. If those African leaders would have sided with Malcolm X and went to that UN, it would have destroyed the myth of American democracy, which is nothing but sheer hypocrisy. See, he was going to destroy their need to globalize. He was going to destroy their need to modernize. He was going to destroy their need to future colonize and take over all the other European countries. When we look at World War One, when we look at World War Two, what was doing wars really about? World War One was about one European country and another European country and their allies going against each other in order to control those from Africa, to control those from Latin America, to control those in Asia, and to control the so-called Middle East. You know, we can't say the Middle East because, like Khalid Muhammad told us, he said when the cracker comes tell you it's a Middle East, you ask that cracker, well, hell, where's the middle? Where's the Middle North? Where's the Middle South? So if it ain't no place such as that, damn sure ain't no goddamn Middle East. The reason why there is a Middle East is because the Suez Canal was created by the white man. He just cut a trail. He cut a path in the ground to confuse us and make us think that the so-called Middle East is not Africa, and thereby they can control and dominate that area. Because you see the light-skinned and bright Arabs there today, you think our people weren't the first people there. The Sumerians was the first Africans in that area before any light, bright Arab even came along. In fact, we are the true Arabs. We are the true Africans of that region. But when we take into consideration that Malcolm X was building support from all these countries, this was going to destroy American imperialism image. It was going to destroy America being seen as the necessary world police. The Americans consider themselves to be the pigs of the planet. They consider themselves to be the ones who safeguarding the so-called free world. When in reality, these motherfuckers are the major terrorists. When in reality, they're the big gangsters of the planet. And all they're doing is sending a mercenary army to destroy and colonize and conquer, first and foremost, Africa, second, Latin America, third, Asia, and fourth, so-called Middle East. So by Malcolm X being able to push that type of line, when he came back to the Audubon Ballroom and got assassinated in New York, they felt they murdered his plans also. So why is this so important for us to understand in regard to this brutal, bloodthirsty assassination of Malcolm Shabazz? Why was it so important for us to grasp this true history? Let's look at the truth. But before we get into Malcolm Shabazz, let's talk about the situation that's going on with Assata Shakur. See, in reality, Assata Shakur is one of the aspects of their war tactics. The second aspect is to destroy the freedom of the Cuban people, to destroy the Cuban Revolution, with Fidel Castro and Che Guevara went and destroyed the oligarchy, went and destroyed Batista and his U.S.-backed army. So once Cuba establishes itself in the Western Hemisphere, America will swoop. They try to invade during the Bay of Pigs, and they send CIA and other so-called Cuban exiles in order to destroy the Cuban Revolution. But what happened? Russia came along. They offered them nuclear weaponry and told them if the Europeans ever invade again, then we got something for their ass. And then they stopped those type of attacks on Cuba. But yet and still they set up these motherfucking embargoes to stop the people from getting medical aid, to stop the people from getting food. Thereby, they get frustrated and attempt themselves to overthrow Fidel Castro, to overthrow Che Guevara and his brother Raul. So they think it's destroy Cuba. Cuba has always been a haven for revolutionaries. That was right coming up out of America. Robert Williams went there. Huey P. Newton went there. Elder Cleveland went there. So damn sure it was love when Asada got to go there. Definitely didn't want that. Y'all rolling with me? So when we think about the reality of these demons right now trying to even insinuate or imply that they want to send drones up this beautiful African sister, it's of vital importance we look at the totality of what they're really trying to do. These demons are basically trying to destroy two revolutionary birds with one rock. They feel if they can get at Asada Shakur, then they can also simultaneously destroy Cuba and its anti-imperialistic outlook. They want to force democracy down the throat of the Cubans. They force democracy down the throat of those in Afghanistan. They try to force this white supremacy democracy down the throat of those of Iran and Iraq and other places. See, because it's a real war going on. So World War I and World War II was all about who was going to control the nigger. So what do we have today with Asada? What do we have today with Malcolm Shabazz? It is World War III. See, we get so caught up in hearing World War III and thinking that the only time this can take place is you're going to see nuclear weaponry going off. But the Europeans, they have got smart, and they know that if one nuclear bomb goes off, it neutralizes everybody. So their main thing is to make sure they lock down and control all the nuclear warheads on the planet. So the only ones who are allowed on the planet to have these nuclear warheads is those who push in white supremacy and they fake white democracy. So this is the reality. You wonder why they got so goddamn mad at Hussein for even thinking about having a goddamn weapon of mass destruction. And let me point that out. They swear to God he had a weapon of mass destruction, but when the demons went over there to look and they did all that invader, come out that the CIA was just fucking lying. They knew for a fact it wasn't no motherfucking weapons of mass destruction over there. And they continue this war under this same law. They've yet to still find a goddamn stick, a goddamn knife, where they can justify it and say it's a weapon of mass destruction. Who really has all the weapons of mass destruction? It is the goddamn racist U.S. government who has to poke the monopoly over the weapons of mass destruction. So our people have to basically try to take off on them with rocks, bombs, and whatever the fuck we had when we were launching these anti-colonial wars on the planet. So when we look at World War III today, what is really going on? It's just a continuation of World War I, a continuation of World War II that has ultimately led to World War III. America is trying to push neo-colonies on the planet. They want to be the number one European superpower. They want to dominate over the British. They want to dominate over the French. They want to dominate over the Germans to be the number one European god race of people. So the reality is, it's been a gigantic world war going on. They just want to hide it and cloak it under the guise of anti-terrorism, which is a hoax and a facade because they're guilty of so much state terrorism. Look at their drones and robots. These type of things would have been illegal when they ruled the world, but now it's totally legal for them to launch robots at human people.
Right.
Now they're even suggesting launching robots to go get Asada Shakur. This is the reality. So when we look at Malcolm Shabazz, the main reason why he was assassinated, y'all hear me? The main reason why he was assassinated is because he was the only black within America right now who had Malcolm X international credibility. By him having that name, by him being of that bloodline, this man was allowed within the confines of African dignitary home. He was allowed to go to Iran. He was able to even try to go to Libya with Cynthia McKinley. He was the one who was going to be able to internationalize our struggle and make sure that the people who are struggling on the African continent, the people who are struggling on Latin American continent and the Asian continent were going to side with black people. And it's possible that he could have even still pushed his plan, of Malcolm X's plan, of charging the American government within world court as being guilty of committing genocide on black people. This is why they assassinated that young brother. because he has the international credibility to go around the world and rally support for our people and finally knock the U.S. government off its totem pole, knock them off their throne, and destroy the image of American democracy, which was sheer fucking bullshit hypocrisy. He's World
Good
War III. We need to develop and exercise our constitutional right to bear arms. It is World War III. Let's take into consideration the hidden, low-key, covert assassination, chemical assassination. I know there's some people out there that are going to disagree with me about Khalid Muhammad. Let's talk about Khalid Muhammad. He himself told us if he died in a car accident, you know it was the white man. If I slip on a motherfucking bar of soap, you better know it was the white man. And yet and still we sit here and watch that brother die and we don't even think of an assassination. We don't even act out as if it was assassination when they did this chemical assassination, which was high, low key, though. High, low key. Right there in our face, but filled with rocks. How did this man die from a brain aneurysm? The whole
right.
side of his head basically was blew off. And you say, maybe I'm wrong about Khalid Muhammad. Okay, well, why the fuck did Johnny Cochran die of the same brain aneurysm? Everybody knew the pigs were scared of Johnny Cochran. You could say, I got Johnny Cochran out of the lawyer and the pigs and start shaking in their fake-ass utility belts and shaking in their boots. This is the truth. And knowing full well that Johnny Cochran was about to push the H.R. 40 program, which was a plan designed by Johnny Cochran to help our people get reparations. And if anybody could have legislated that shit through Congress, it would have been Johnny Cochran. They were fluke because he mastered their white supremacy law. He would have forced these demons to admit their hypocrisy, and he would have demanded those reparations. And that's why they gave him also a brain aneurysm. And they blew the side of his head off. Now, just the other day, I was at the Panther breakfast. You know, they hold those every other Sunday, right? And I've been trying to find out for the last year why in the hell or how in the hell did Geronimo Pratt just mysteriously die?
Right. That's the question.
Understand that Geronimo Pratt, now peep this shit out. Geronimo Pratt was the richest revolutionary our people ever had. You say, what the fuck are you talking about, Tonko? He was the richest revolutionary our people ever had. Johnny Cochran helped get him millions of dollars. So the brother went to Tanzania. He started setting up homes and orphanages to educate the youth and bring African people, once again, on the side of black people. So they knew that this man had the potential and now the finances to deal with their ass. So he ended up contracting malaria after he came back from Johnny Cochran's funeral. He contracted malaria after he came back from Johnny Cochran's assassination, his brain being blew out by a brain aneurysm, and then a couple days later, this man contract malaria and die in Tanzania. And yet, and still, we sit back and act like this shit ain't no assassination. Now, these motherfuckers have got so bold because we so sleep as a people, now they're in an outright threw Malcolm Shabazz over a two-story.
Let me ask you this.
Two-story. They didn't ask him, was he a Muslim? When they threw him over that two-story, they didn't ask him if he was a Christian. They didn't ask him if he was male Chauvinist. They just threw him over them two motherfucking stories.
Yes,
we
sir.
We better get our shit together. We better organize and exercise our constitutional right to bear arms and defend our people. That's all
yes,
I
sir.
Want to say,
no, yes, sir. I want to ask you a few questions here, because We got to raise the issues. And brothers and sisters, you are listening to General Taco taking all capitalists out, the general of the Black Riders Liberation Party, new generation of the Black Panther Party. And listen, because there's a lot of conspiracy floating around. There's a lot of different angles to it floating around. I want to know why, when you looked at the scenario, Brother Taco, comrade, why did you think that it was assassination? Why did your immediate assassination alarm went off in the case of Brother Malcolm Shabazz?
Number one, I've had numerous contact with the brother. I've stayed in homes with him. A couple of comrades did statewide tours with him in California, you know, so I can understand the brother's sincerity, his need to live up to his granddaddy name, but also to help liberate our people. So in understanding and knowing this brother, I know for a fact that this brother wasn't stupid in regards to security, that he would have had somebody on point by his side up in Mexico if he would have knew this shit was going to crack like that. But at the same time, he wasn't paying attention. So, being that that's the case, the enemy caught him. And we must understand that this is very important for us to look at, and they're trying to also create a black and brown beast by murdering him within Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's very serious. We understand that. But he didn't go down to Mexico just to kick it with brown people. His main thing was to build black and brown unity. His main thing was to make our people understand, just like his granddaddy, that our struggle is international and that every motherfucker who are oppressed within the planet need to unite and organize and fight these demons.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That raised some alarms with me, too, because I know, number one, that Brother Malcolm was a brother who had some street experience. I know that he was street wise. I know he was security conscious. And when they said immediately he went down there with no security and was dependent upon the security of Rumac and Manuel Suarez is the guy's name who he's there with, that raised some flags in me too. So I wanted to know why in your mind it was assassination. You know, that makes a lot of sense to me too. Brothers and sisters, the number to call 646-478-4447, 646-478-4447. We're talking about Brother Malcolm Latif Shabazz, the grandson of the Honorable Minister Malcolm X, Brother Elhaj Malik Shabazz, or Brother Omar Wali, his grandson, assassinated, we believe murdered, assassinated in Mexico. The news broke on Thursday. He was only 29 years old. And the way that the story goes, they say that he was down there with an organization called RUMEC, which was a revolutionary, quote-unquote, revolutionary organization, a Mexican organization for labor rights, and deals with labor rights and construction and the rights of workers. And the way the story goes, in case you're just joining us or just hearing the news, the way the story goes, they say that he was taken into a rough area of Tijuana, taken into a rough area and taken into a bar and allegedly was having drinks and dancing with some women. And some kind of way, now, this Suarez fella, Manuel Suarez, allegedly now takes him into the bar. They rack up a bill of $1,200, I guess in U.S. money, $1,200 worth of drinks and I guess time with the women. And allegedly now the bar owner or whoever's running the establishment becomes irate, becomes angry, and demands that Malcolm pay this tab. And so according to this Suarez story now, he says that they went into where they were ordered into a room. He said he was ordered into a room at gunpoint by another short Mexican, leaving Malcolm in the hallway, and he says outside he hears a commotion. And then his story goes that he escapes past the man with the gun out into the hallway, down into the first floor outside, gets into the cab, he says, or calls for the cab, gets the cab, and comes back to see little brother Malcolm's body on the ground, beat up, bruised up. But at this point, he's still alive. And he says now later that, you know, Malcolm died at the hospital. Now, I'm just saying this, as we just heard General Taco talk about that they will use black faces, they'll use brown faces. We know the white man's historical work on it all with both sides. I'm saying this publicly, that the story of Manuel Suarez has some pretty steady holes in it. It has pretty steady holes in his story, that you escape past an armed man into the hallway and that you go outside running past Brother Malcolm, who you brought there. You brought Malcolm there. He came. You already knew he was coming. Brought him in, you say, with your mother on the bus. And from what I'm understanding, tell him that everything is going to be taken care of, and you take him into a bar that you know is known for swindling people or American tourists, as they say. And then you'll rack up this bill. I'm just saying something's going on. And so let me ask you this, Brother Taco. You say now that with the increased bounty on Sister Asada Shakur, you say now that this is an attack not only on the sister, but you say this is an attack on the entire Black Power movement, Black movement, and Black family. Can you expound on that?
First thing I want to do is really have everybody to check out Malcolm Shabazz's last written statement. And he wrote that statement after the feds had arrested him trying to go to Iran, I think in New York. And within that, his last words, he said that the government has continuously tried to kill him, arrest him, harass him, and that they was basically trying to smut his character, to assassinate his character so that they could bring about a physical assassination. This is not my words. This is not what Shabazz's words. He said they were trying to character assassinate him before physically assassinating him. Now, what makes the shit so deep, if you know the true history of how Malcolm X virtually said the same thing right before he was assassinated. Check the history. Now, in regards to Sister Asada Shakur, you know, Sister Asada, by her being in Cuba, you know, it's so important for us to understand that the American racist government has been at war with Africa, at war with Latin America, at war with Asia and the so-called Middle East, you know, and it's World War III. So Cuba is considered a terrorist state, but they didn't really have no true justification to try to run up in there. See, they already pushed Afrikan and the other fake-ass military forces all throughout Africa. Let's look at the fact that Obama, being the first fake-ass black president, has pushed more European forces through Africa to create neo-colonies than any other president, even Bush. But yet and still, since he's chocolate on the outside and white on the inside, we let this demon get away with that type of shit without no outrage. So Obama is directly involved. He's the one who's launching wars at every anti-imperialist country, whether they be Muslim or socialist. These demons are at war with the Muslim and the socialist countries. Any country that represents freedom, any country that represents anti-imperialist activity, they are trying to destroy. And by them attacking Cuba through Asada right now shows us the truth. It's an attack on our people and it's an attack on the global struggle.
Yes, sir. Very heavy. Get to the phone lines, but I want to read you all this. This comes from Reuters.com, which is reporting up to the minute along with other sources, just so we can kind of follow the story. And I do think that it's interesting that the story is changing. The story is quickly changing, as when it first came out, Brother Malcolm was thrown off the building. The first story that came out, they said he was thrown off the building and died from being robbed and thrown off the building. Then the story comes out that he was shot. You know, that was the next story. He got shot during the apparent robbery attempt. And then it comes out that he was on the ground. And according to the reports now from Reuters, they're saying now that Brother Malcolm died from blows to his head or injuries to his head, his ribs, and his jaw. Okay, it's just reported now. They say he died from blows to his head, his ribs, and his jaw. And they say they're still trying to determine how his body came to be dumped on the street. They say that the bar's security cameras had been turned. Now listen to this, an important point here. The bar's security cameras had been turned to face the wall and said that said rumors that Shabazz had jumped from the window were untrue. He said Shabazz and his family, of course, would not be coming to Mexico to recover the body. All right, but I'm just talking about now, that's from Reuters. That's from Reuters now that they're saying that it was injuries to the head, the jaw, and his ribs. The initial story was that he was thrown from the building, and then he was shot. And what I've noticed here is that whenever there's these kind of situations with notable figures, you have multi-layered stories. They'll give you a story of being thrown. They'll give you a story of being shot. They'll give you a story of being beat up to keep us confused or to keep you confused to find out what's really going on. There was this same kind of cloud of confusion over Minister Malcolm X. I just want us to stay abreast of that. But again, Brother Taco, what do you think now, because we're going to take these calls, but what do you think should be? I know you say that we should exercise our constitutional rights, and we have those, but just on a informational propaganda, proper propaganda or organizational effort, what would be your advice to black people who are hurt or people in general who are hurt over this situation and want to get the word out and get justice out for Brother Malcolm Shabazz?
Well, number one, we got to develop a common theme, you know, because I hear a lot, you know, about hands off of Sada, right? And Brother Billion, Sister Akua, including the other people we've been working with, you know, came up with a new term. Instead of just saying hands off of Sada, hands off fucking Africa and any people of African descent. And, you know, and when we talk about Malcolm Shabazz, we got to place him in the correct category because a lot of people don't think there's a new movement going on. So by not being a new movement, we just think these are just simple murders. You feel me? We just think that Asada did something bad. No, there is a new movement. These demons have censored their media so much, so now people don't see the shit on TV. They don't
right.
think it's real.
Right.
You feel me?
That's
we
right.
have to promote it. We have to set up media outlets to where we tell the truth. We got to set up newspapers, Brooklyn. We got to speak out at barbershops. We got to stand up and exercise our constitutional right to defend ourselves and primarily our leadership. Leadership must be fucking protected. That was our weakness back in the day, and we know these demons push a line, kill them a head and a body and die. Leadership must be protected. If you are rank and file, accept your position and protect your leader with your life. Give up your life before you let your leader die. We need these leaders. They cut off the heads of all the past leaders, and it left us to gangbang. It left us to sell dope. No longer should we ever allow that shit to happen again. We should push around by any means necessary. If you touch our motherfucking leaders, everybody die.
Beautiful. Let me go to the phone line here, take some calls. First call, your call is Eric Kofi. 805-235-805-235. You're on live with Black Power Radio. Sean Kwali, General Taco. We're talking about the assassination of Brother Malcolm El Shabazz and the bounty on Sister Asada Shakur. Give us your question, your comment, Black Power.
Black Power, Kodat, for your woman.
Black Power.
I like what Taco's saying because I think that the children of revolutionary leaders have to be protected. And I see a downfall within our movement, within our struggle, that we don't take care of these brothers and sisters that have been born and raised in the struggle, that they're not, we as a people aren't housing them and taking care of them, you know, and, you know, we all go through the same, you know, survival tactics of food and clothing and this, but I think we have to get it together where we can have places that people can go and to make sure that, you know, when they do have a unity between black and brown and black, you know, red, we should understand what's going on. And the first thing in the revolution, you don't drink, you don't take drugs because they could just, you know, when you're down and out, you don't know what's going to come down. You have to always be alert, even the smoking. And there's a lot of smoking and a lot of substitute of drink. You know what I mean? And we got to clean our act up, you know, how are we going to, you know, help anyone if we can't even help ourselves to stand up straight, you know. So it hurts to see another child just like Doc's child, you know. We've got to take
Absolutely.
Care of the baby. So I just wanted to add that part. We got to take, you know, really organized to the point of being clean and straight. You know, they're going to kill us anyway. You know what I mean? A slower death if you take drugs. So it's easier to stand up straight and you see it coming. And
and prepare yourself for that, you know?
Yes, ma'am. And you are a revolutionary veteran yourself, and, you know, have been, you and your husband and family have been victims of much repression over the years. What advice would you give to the newer generation, young generation, and even maybe the veterans that are coming up and going through this as we're trying to avert the aims of COINTELPRO and the aims of our oppressors?
Yeah, well, COINTELPRO never stopped on us. It kept on going. And that's why we say when you live within the movement, within the struggle, you can see all the downfalls and pitfalls and, you know, even to women's lib in our own community, you know. I had told Doc about his son, you knowing my daughter just as friends, but because people have sick minds, he says, oh, look at, they're putting them together to be married or something. No, I just wanted another comrade whose father's been raised in the movement, in the struggle, that our children will be connected so that they don't feel that they're out of place because we're out of place. Because whatever the white man says, he's a liar, he's a thief, he's a rapist, and he continues to rape, even our mind. And so our children are supposed to be protected even more by the community, you know. And if they bring in the drugs, they bring in the alcohol, you know, it's just like, God damn, I want them out of the way too.
Absolutely. Sister, thank you so much for your comments. And
thanks.
Please come back and be with us on Black Power Radio.
Forward
ever. Damn it. My sister warrior woman, veteran in the struggle, revolutionary veteran in the struggle, comrade of Colonel Muammar Gaddafi and so many others, Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad and so many others. Glad to have her on and have her input in this. I wanted to draw your attention now because we're talking about several issues here. You know, right on the money with the assassination of our brother Malcolm L. Shabazz, which we know that's what it was, a straight-up setup. I'm calling it. It's a straight-up setup. And talking about the increased bounty by the FBI, championed by this bootlicking Tom, and for the FBI in New Jersey, for the hunt and capture of our queen warrior, Sister Assata Shakur. Now, I wanted to talk about this part in COINTELPRO, the program, because, you know, many of us know COINTELPRO. We know it's an acronym for Counterintelligence Program. But you don't know, many don't know, that the FBI developed a network back then of some 4,000 members. This is back then assembled, you know, of top level. It was called Top Lev. They named it Top Lev. It was Top Level Black Community Leadership Program. Top Lev Black Pro, or the Black Program, where they involved compromised black leadership to get what they called the Ghetto Informant Program. This is their words, to get new recruits in what they called the Ghetto Informant Program. It was also used to go after the Black Liberation Movement. And so what I'm saying here is that, you know, as we talk about, you know, as you heard our brother Taco talk about colonialism, and we're talking about neo-colonialism, which is white power in black face, and we're talking about what's going on. He talked and touched on the moves by, you know, the Obama administration and all this and that. This is real we're talking about. We're talking about compromised preachers. We're talking about compromised leaders. We're talking about compromised people in revolutionary formations that are saying black power and a Bargani and power to the people and Hotep and Islam Aleikum, and you working for the enemy. And I'm telling you all this, that what happened to Malcolm Shabazz and what's happening with Sister Assata Shakur, as we've been talking about, none of this can take place without black faces and brown faces and people that are close to these men and these women. And the same thing, we're talking about the international moves of Minister Malcolm X and his grandson. We're talking about Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, who and me and us and New Black Panther Party, who just came back from Africa making international moves. I'm telling you, it's serious out here. It's serious out here. So my point in saying that is we must watch. Of course, we know the white man is our open enemy, but we for damn sure going to have to watch these people in positions, these so-called sheep herders and gatekeepers and people that, you know, getting up next to you, telling you to do things and this, that, and the third, and getting information because they in here and they implanted. We ain't going to put a cover off all of them, those that we got to sniff on. But we got to watch out for them. But it's called Top Lev. Top Lev. Top Lev Black Pro. That's in the COINTELPRO document where they recruit through black leaders, brown leaders, red leaders, yellow leaders. They recruit through Aboriginal people to have you to become the ghetto informant on your people and set up men like Malcolm Shabazz and set up women like Asada Shakur, set up men like the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad. Set them up. This is real. Any thoughts on that, Brother Taco?
I just want to say, big bro, you know, it's been an honor to be on the show. You know, I'm just pissed off like a motherfucker, righteously so. Time for us to ride, you know. And I want to bring up a situation that happened with us down here in L.A., which was super important for us to understand. Now, about a week or two ago, Black Riders was honored by the original Black Panther Party. And Kathleen Cleaver presented us with an award for continuing the whole black liberation struggle. And that was an honor, not for just Black Riders, but for every Panther formation that's in America right now moving. But
yes, sir.
Every revolutionary black that's around the world, that was a serious, important thing. And so in the climate of Asada Shakur, in the climate of Malcolm Shabazz, guess what also happened? Two of our strong sisters, one named Tana Shakur and the other named Yana Shakur, was pushing newspapers right here on Century and Crenshaw at the Food for Less. And as they was campaigning, one sister went inside the store to use the bathroom. And an Inglewood police officer rolled up to Sister Tana Shakur and told her she got to get away from the spot. So he kind of went inside the store trying to alert Yana Shakur of what was going on, and the pigs tried to attack Tana Shakur. But the thing that's different in this situation, this one pig learned the truth of Black Rider. This sister studies Wing Chun. This sister studies Aikido. This sister studies Judo right along with the rest of our rank, so she was able to properly defend ourselves against this demon. And as this sister is in that position, the other sister who studies Wing Chun, the other sister who studies Aikido and Judo, assisted. And both of them was arrested for assault and battery on a police officer and kidnapped and captured for 3 days. And then let go after the pigs reduced the charges to just a simple battery on a police officer. These sisters didn't get one scratch. These sisters didn't shed one tear. They knew that it was their duty to defend themselves against a bunch of demons that have been colonizing and committing genocide on our people. So right within these losses of Malcolm Shabazz, right within these attacks on Asada Shakur, you see the black liberation struggle rising and defending themselves against these demons.
That's
this
right.
This should be seen as an example of that we can win, that we need to push the struggle and defend ourselves. See, we just not out here talking. This shows us the truth that it is better for us to die on our feet than live on our knees. Black power.
Black power. Power to the people. Right back to the phone lines. Area code 562-239. 562-239. Your mic's open. You're on live Black Power Radio talking about the assassination of Brother Malcolm Shabazz and the increased bounty of Sister Asada Shakur. Black power.
Black power, Brother Shine. Thank you. Love you, brother. Assalamu alaikum, this is Brother Vernon X. Now, Brother Ali, brother, how are you, brother?
Hey, brother, welcome to the show. I'm doing good. You're on with General Taco as well. Black power to
you. Yes, sir. Power to the people, General Taco. Brother Sean, I was there. I was of the new Black Panther Party at the ceremony when General Taco received his award, brother. It was a beautiful day. All the old Panthers, Sister Kathleen Cleaver, I embrace General Taco, and I stand with the Black Riders 100%, brother, in solidarity. But
beautiful.
Brother, back to Brother Malcolm Shabazz. Brother, clearly, Brother Sean, Brother National Spokesman, let me get it right. clearly it's set up, brother. Mrs. Suarez or whatever his name is, that brother's got some answering to do, brother. How he ran past an armed man and all this and leaves and comes back and the brother's found on the street. Brother, that is COINTELPRO up and down, brother. You know what I mean? And whoever, and you know, brother, and once again, a brother, as General Taco says, we have to stand with protecting our brothers and our leaders, brother. And why this brother was down there, unsecured, brother, something made him awful comfortable. So he was comfortable, brother, where he was. So you know, clearly we know it was a setup. And COINTEL, like the sister said, COINTELPRO never died, brother. But these people have had a green light on us, brother, from 1865, brother, when we were no longer property. They have had a green light on us in some kind of way, medically, brother, financially, I mean, educationally, some kind of way they're destroying the black man in this white supremacist system is part of the white supremacist system. But far as General, what you said, brother, the war is on now. Assad Shakur, all that was, brother, that is just the format to let us know, brother, watch yourselves. You know, all the black power groups, all the groups, brother, we are going to have to stand in solidarity. And you know, Mr. Farrakhan said some time ago, he said, this devil is going to show his true horns coming up soon. And with Assad Shakur, with this $2 million bounty by this bootlicking buck dancing Tom, brother, like you said, brother, and they're using our own people. I'm looking at brown faces and black faces. They're the ones that are coming out with this nonsense now. You know what I mean? That bootlicking buck dancing Tom, now it's a $2 million bounty. What's next, brother? This thing is going to follow suit. And all brothers and sisters, all I can say is, brother, it's black power. And let's stand in solidarity, brother. Take care of our mothers and our children and ourselves, our fathers, our relatives, brother. And let's cover each other, brother. Cover down like they say in the military. Black power, brother Sean.
Black power. And thank you for your comments, brother Ali, because they're on time and right on point, brother. I mean, listen, $2 million. On Queen Warrior Assata Shakur. Queen Warrior Assata Shakur, who the attorney, her attorney, and others have already poked holes all through the state of New Jersey's whole case. Again now, they said that she allegedly shot the police officer. There's no evidence that that happened. She herself had her hands up, turned around, shot in the back, arms, unable to fire a weapon, yet the state of New Jersey is allowed to arrest her. And now when the Black Liberation Army takes her away from the clutch of the beast, now you're saying you're going to send in mercenaries or rangers, or maybe, as our brothers say, drones, to get our Queen Warrior. This is a slap in the face of the black nation. And it's a slap in the face of any freedom fighter, anybody who loves justice out there. You should be outraged. To hell with a slogan, to hell with a sign, really to hell with some rallies. I'm talking about you should really take this serious. Take it serious. This is your Queen Warrior. It's like your mama, your auntie, Tupac's auntie. $2 million on her head. So that some traitor within the circle, because we know, allegedly now, we've heard that she's well protected. Don't know where she is. Don't want to know where she is. But we just heard through some rumblings in the grapevine, she's protected. Okay, fine. Well, then they're trying to incite some traitor within the camp to turn her over to the beast. Now, y'all take your minds back to the slave days. Take your minds back to the paddy rollers. When they went to go return the slave to the plantation, was the slave returned in one piece? Normally, the slave would be returned castrated. The slave would be returned beat up, bruised up, damn near murdered, sometimes murdered. Now, do you trust these devils with your Queen Warrior? Because guess what? It's a side of today. It's you and me tomorrow. It's Assata today, you and me tomorrow. This is serious. There's an assault on the Black Liberation Movement. If you call yourself a Pan-Africanist, you call yourself a Black Nationalist, you call yourself revolutionary, you say you're a Black Socialist, Whatever you say you are, if you're black in America, you're under attack right now. Let me read something to you. Let me read something. This is COINTELGO. COINTELGO from the paper. All right? It says to prevent the rise of a messiah who could unify and electrify the militant black nationalist movement. Hoover and him say Malcolm X might have been such a messiah. He is the martyr of the movement today. Martin Luther King, Stokely Carmichael, and Elijah Muhammad, he say, all aspire to this position. He say Elijah Muhammad is less of a threat because of his age. He say King could be a very real contender for his position should he abandon his supposed obedience to white liberal doctrines, in parentheses, nonviolence, and embrace black nationalism. He says Carmichael has the necessary charisma to be a real threat in this way. All right? He goes on further to say he wants to prevent militant black nationalist groups and leaders from gaining, and he underlined it, respectability by discrediting them to three separate segments of the country. The goal of discrediting black nationalists must be handled tactically in three ways. He says you must discredit these groups and individuals to first the responsible, quote-unquote, Negro community. Second, they must be discredited to the white community. He says both represent both the responsible community and to liberals who have vestiges for sympathy for militant black nationalists simply because they're Negroes. This is COINTELPRO. He says, third, these groups must be discredited in the eyes of Negro radicals or black radicals, the followers of the movement. This last area requires entirely different tactics from the first two. He say publicity about violent tendencies and radical statements merely enhance black nationalists to the last group, and it adds respectability in a different way. All right? So we're talking about COINTELPRO in 2013. Now look on your television. Listen to your radio. You hear very to little chatter. Very little chatter about your brother's murder in Mexico. Maybe a news brief here, a quick segment here, a flash across the radio. No thorough investigation by media outlets on how the grandson of Minister Malcolm X goes to Mexico by himself and is found outside a bar dead. Very little talk of it at all. Very little talk. I'm going to go take another call. And they say the final goal should be to prevent long-range growth of militant black nationalist organizations, especially among the youth. Specific tactics to prevent these groups from converting young people must be developed. All right? He says, besides these five goals, counterintelligence is a valuable part of our regular investigative program as it often produces positive information. All right? And so all of this is continuing. Nothing has changed. J. Edgar Hoover in the ground and the baton passed on to the next successor, after him, the next successor. All right? So now counterintelligence has become the Patriot Act. It's become the Patriot Act. Counterintelligence, the grandfather, Patriot Act, the father, the mother, NDAA, all of that. It's the same. All right? We in it in 2013. Now, let me take your calls here on that. We're talking about Malcolm Shabazz, talking about Sister Asada Shakur, $2 million increase in bounty. Next caller here, the area code 347-218. 347-218. You're on live, Black Power Radio, Sean Saddam Kweli, General Taco. Give us your question, your comment, Black Power. Yes, 347-218. You're on live. Your question, please. All right, maybe they're listening. We'll go to the next call at 917-565. 917-565. You're on live with General Taco, Black Power Radio. Your question, your comment, Black Power.
Black Power, can you hear me?
Hey, Black Power, we can hear you.
Oh, straight ahead. Free the land, soldiers.
Straight ahead. Free the land.
Paul, I'm telling you, you'll have my adrenaline running. I just want to make a comment on our warrior prince, Shining Black Prince, Malcolm X, Elhaj Malik El Shabazz.
Yes, ma'am.
I remember listening to one of his recordings some years ago where this Chinese daughter put a gun to her father's head because he was Uncle Tom. So, you know, that's saying that we have to be so careful. Like you said, brother, I'm just anointed with your revolutionary ideology. I'm feeling good because the revolution, as brother said, will not be televised. And people don't take the heed to that. They think everything is all
right.
They're shaking their head. Oh, that's all, you know. They're talking about, yeah, he went down there, he got this and that. But they listen to the white man stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Listen
that's
to the
right.
enemy. They're not listening to us. But like you said, that's what happened to Fred Hammond and Mark Carr.
Teach.
They had an agent provocateur. Exactly. He was a cop.
That's
he
right. William O'Neill.
And that's how they became assassinated. You look at
that's
George
right.
George Jackson. And Michelle McGee, he spent 42 years incarcerated since 1970.
That's right.
I don't hear anything posted on our brother.
Teach. It's very
you know,
little
brother,
to...
Keep on straight ahead. I am 68 years young. I've been out there for a long time.
Yes, man. Honored to have
you
on
ahead,
with us.
Loving you. Excuse me?
I said honored to have you on with us.
Honored to listen. You know... I've been out there in the movement, the original party, New Black Panther Party, just that I'm just doing something with my daughter now. She's not feeling well. But other than that, I'm with you all 100%. Like Malcolm said, revolution is bloodshed. And it
That's
is.
That's right. Yes, it
We're
is.
We're afraid to shed our blood. Everybody sheds that blood for us. Unless we're killing each other. That's the only
That's right.
time we shed our blood.
That's right. That's right. We
bleed
for
Keep on straight ahead. Free the land, and we're going to free it by every means necessary. All
right.
power to the people.
All
These
power
times,
to the
soldiers.
People.
Love you.
Love you too, my sister. And that's encouraging. I have to tell you, family, that in this, in everything that we're saying, it is straight ahead. We got to move straight forward. Now, in order to circumvent what's happening, I have to make this announcement. We still have General Taco on with us. I want to hear some more from him. I want to hear some more from us on this topic, as there's more to be dug out of it. But I want to tell you that in order to circumvent what's happening, as I just read to you from J. Edgar Hoover and those that were under his administration, how they wanted to keep black nationalism away from the youth then and now. And if you don't know what black nationalism is, that is black people having land of your own, territory of your own, nationhood, your own economy, controlling your own stuff, to keep it, as Chairman Fred used to say in plain proletariat English, to have your own stuff, all right, your own community control, all right. And so what we're doing, we're going to make this announcement that we're organizing, as I said in the beginning, a national truce, first starting with the street tribes and the gangs, and also starting with black organizations. We cannot tell people that they must be united and talk all this in Gazu Saba talk and Kwanzaa talk, and then the black organizations are disunited, disjointed, disenfranchised, and fighting one another, and then we're trying to organize the community. That is a key problem. As to why we're going through the things that we're going through is because those of us who are supposed to be at the front, the heads, the lights, those of us that are supposed to be the guiding lights, we are disjointed as a people and disunited. And so Attorney Malik Shabazz, the national chairman, has said that starting on June the 1st, we're going to kick off a national truce tour. All right, meaning that we're going city to city, not just him, but those of us that are in the Central Committee of the New Black Panther Party. Those of us, hopefully, General Taco, that will roll with us. Those of you who are involved with gang warfare, tribal warfare, those of you that are concerned about the disunity of our people, we are coming to your city. And we're not coming just to talk and to take up a whole bunch of money and leave. We have organized and we're putting together the final touches on a national peace treaty. Now, if J. Edgar Hoover said, now this is big, if J. Edgar Hoover said that his primary goal was to prevent long-range growth of militant black nationalist organizations, specifically amongst the youth, and they wanted to develop those tactics to keep that from happening, then in 2013, we have to make sure that the bones of J. Edgar Hoover and that all that he put in place and that those before him put in place to keep us disunited and to keep our youth ignorant and to keep our youth fighting each other and killing each other and doped up and high and disrespectful and all kind of stuff, that we turn that thing around. And it will be the Panther formations to do it. Brother Taco talked about how that once the leadership failed, once Minister Malcolm X was gone, once Huey P. Newton was gone, once Elijah Muhammad was gone, once Marcus Garvey was gone, Drew Ali gone, Asada gone, Angie, all them locked up, and all kind of stuff that happened. Once all that happened, that you had now drugs, you had gang warfare, you had tribalism, you had disunity in the community. All right? And so we got to turn the thing around. Tell your neighbors, tell your friends, brothers and sisters, and spread this, that starting June the 1st, there is a national peace treaty in every hood, every ghetto, every black community in America. I'm telling you. And I'm telling you, if we, whoever we got to get on board, whatever OGs, whether it's T. Rogers, whoever, whoever we got to talk to, whatever areas, we will respect whatever territory, whoever controls what, whatever, whatever. But I'm telling you this, our people must be united and we must be organized, because the attack on the black liberation movement is an attack on black people in general. Let me ask you, Brother Taco, is that something that you would be interested in, my brother?
Power to the people, yeah, definitely, man. What I want to be responsible for is bringing plenty of OGs from all different hoods, Bloods and Crips, Hoovers, Pop Rules, East Coast Crips, bring them all to the table, because we've been developing unity with different OGs for the last 17 years, and they've been waiting for a call like this, because this gives them a chance to not only unify with each other, but now you had the Bloods and Crips unifying with the Black T-Stones in Chicago and with the Vice Lords, with the Bloods and Crips on the East Coast, so we can get that thing together, because that inspired out of control. You feel me? So we can bring this consciousness back together and really build a strong black liberation movement that's going to deliver our people from the hells and smells of North America.
That's right. That's right. Power to the people. There you have it. General Taco on board, the Black Rider Liberation Party on board, and others. We need others who will spearhead and who are willing to go into the mud with our people and let our people know what time it is. Let them understand and help them to understand their little brother, little brother Malcolm Shabazz, assassinated in Mexico through a setup. They know that kind of language. Let them understand that a freedom fighter and warrior, Sister Queen Asada Shakur, $2 million bounty, a hit placed on her head. They understand that kind of language. But most importantly, we have to let them know that we must declare peace in our community if we're going to move together, if we're going to be united, if we're going to get any kind of power while we're here in America and alive and anywhere else. We must move as a solid wall and as a solid community, and we must begin to have organizational efforts together, including our people. And so it began really as early as 92. I know that Dr. Mutulu Shakur had initiated the Code of Thug Life, him and Tupac and the OGs and Mo Preem. I know they worked on that. I'm going to have to write to him and get his thoughts on it. But there's so many others, but we need support on this. But this is something that you need to talk up now. And we're kicking off and leading up to the Million Youth March, the 15-year anniversary of the Million Youth March 2013. They're in New York City. and we'll be right there on Malcolm X Boulevard. I'm telling you, in the spirit of the Honorable Dr. Khaled, we're going right there to, of course, honor the Black Power General, where he labored and put his sweat and his blood and fought the beast Giuliani and whipped Giuliani. When Giuliani sent stormtroopers to the stage, and it was Khaled Muhammad and Malik Zulu Shabazz, the New Black Panther Party, Early Regiment, and others who organized and fought Giuliani stormtroopers. And I'm telling you, sent them to the hospital. Sent them to the hospital. All right, we got photos. You see Khaled Muhammad in a military karate stance and all kind of stuff. But look, the 15-year anniversary of the Million Youth March since Hoover wants to keep the youth away from black nationalism, and since his predecessors have done their job in trying to keep the youth away from black nationalism and keep them away from self-determination, it is time to organize the youth. It is time to get them. So that's coming up. I got to let you know that. But we're still on the topic now of Brother Malcolm Shabazz and Sister Asada Shakur, and it's really frightening to me that not enough people know about what happened to Malcolm Shabazz, and not enough people know about what's happening to Sister Asada Shakur, and you don't know what's happening to those who are in the trenches for the future of black people and the future of oppressed people in America, because we're so caught up with reality TV and so caught up with whatever comes over the mainstream media. I'm telling you, you're going to have to learn to turn that TV off and learn to turn them crazy radio songs off and get into some real blueprint for black power. Get into some Kwame Nkrumah, neocolonialism, the last stage of imperialism. Get into some COINTELPRO. You got to get into some stuff that's going to feed your mind and your soul and your spirit. All right? Let me take another call here. And area code 951-756, 951-756, you're on with Black Power Radio, General Taco, Sean Kweli, talking about Brother Malcolm Shabazz's assassination, Sister Asada Shakur, $2 million bounty. Black Power, your question, your comment. 951-756, can you hear me? Your mic's open. All right, sometime they're just listening. General Taco, What can we expect from the Black Rider Liberation Party, brother?
Black Power. Basically, we're just trying to put this revolution together. We must really understand. It's like Malcolm X said. Malcolm X said that whenever you're inside of another man's house, when all the fine furniture is his and all the fine curtains is his, you let that man know that if he puts his hands on you, you're going to tear up his whole goddamn house. This is the only way we will achieve liberation. This is the only way we will achieve freedom. We must understand, we must be honorable, respectful. But if these demons put their hands on us, send them to the cemetery. Power to the people.
Power to the people. It's important to know, families, we take some more calls here, that, I mean, we're saying all this in a serious tone because, again, now you have to understand your little brother was killed in Mexico, and there is a plan in place now to exacerbate the already sensitive tension between black people and brown people. Okay, we do believe now. This is me, Sean Kweli, telling you. I believe that there is some underhanded developments involved with the murder of our brother. I believe that there's some wickedness that has taken place with our brother. I don't believe that he was there with some bar fight and he just got beat up. I don't believe that. If you read his blog, he got a blog that's out there, and he talks about how for months on end he has been harassed by different police agencies. And all of us who are in the movement, we understand that and we know that well because it happens to us all the time. He said that they were following him and that they were contacting different friends of his and associates of his, and that they were saying that he was under investigation. Finally, he said he met one of them somewhere. His mother told him to meet one of them, and they told him he was under investigation. Joint Terrorism Task Force said he was under investigation for his international travels. Now, Again, this is the same thing that his grandfather went through once he went international and began to move around and talk about taking the case of black people in America to the UN, this, that, and the third. That's when the heat was really on. Malcolm went over. Minister Malcolm X went over into Egypt, and Malcolm was poisoned while he was in Egypt, and he began to talk about how that it was not the Nation of Islam, because he had a dispute at that time, an internal dispute with the Nation of Islam. And he said it was not the Nation of Islam that poisoned him, because the Nation of Islam was not that powerful. It was not the Nation of Islam that had bugged his phone and tapped his phone, because the Nation of Islam had that capability. Malcolm, Minister Malcolm X, knew that he was under surveillance by the FBI, CIA, and other forces. And the same with his grandson. His little grandson, knew that he was under surveillance by all of them forces, and he began to write about it. And as we talk about character assassination, when you look at what's online now about Brother Malcolm Shabazz, the first thing they talk about, the brother got a criminal record. He was in jail. He did this and he did that. You know, no mention at all of the charities that he helped, how he went over there on peacemaking missions, what he was doing over there in Libya, working against the negative images in Hollywood, working to organize black-brown unity, black unity. He talked about the black man and woman being murdered without impunity. You can get all this on YouTube as well. Murdered without impunity in the United States. No mention of none of that. And so the smear campaign has begun for Malcolm Shabazz, and the smear campaign has begun for Sister Asada Shakur. Now, what I'm telling you here is that this campaign of smear tactics, it will hit every organization. Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz told you 2 weeks ago that he already suspected that they would try to use somebody to maybe do some kind of criminal activity, rob somebody, hurt somebody, or do something that we are not supposed to do as aggressors in the new Black Panther Party. And he said they'll try to set him up with it, or set us up with it. He already suspects it. I'm telling you this, every organization, even in the church, even in the mosque, wherever you at, they will use these tactics on you, okay? Because these are those kind of days and times where the face of imperialism, or in this case, neocolonialism, that it will spread everywhere to every organization. When black liberation can be labeled terrorism, hear me good, when black liberation can be labeled terrorism, that means anybody who says they disagree with police brutality, or they disagree with the way the education is whitewashed in America, anybody who disagrees with homeschooling your own babies, or who agrees, pardon me, with homeschooling your babies, anybody who disagrees with the way this system has oppressed and enslaved your people, you are now a terrorist to these people. You're a terrorist to these people. So guess what? As I take some more calls, guess what? To the Beast listening, and to the CIA listening, and the FBI listening, the NSA, all of you who listen, in the spirit of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, to have it historically correct so you can get this on record as it's recording. From the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, we are called truth terrorists. We are truth terrorists. Now my phone was, am I still on?
Talk to the people.
Huh? Well, I'm sorry, man. I'm teaching. You got a site map, bro. Are you sure?
The phone died.
Are they coming up?
You got to get back on.
Hold on. All right.
Brothers and sisters.
My apologies to you. As I was making my point on the
NSA,
CIA,
they cut my dad's phone off.
So I gotta get it right back to you.
And make this point. That we from the honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad are called true terrorists.
What's called true terrorists, meaning that we will tell the truth.
And if you're lying, if you're giving falsehood, if you're giving trickology, that it will terrorize you.
We are not aggressive in deed or action.
We don't tell anybody nothing crazy.
We tell our people to defend themselves, but we're willing to shoot up a beautiful, bold, bald-headed black man.
Let me take you some more calls here as we push forward on this topic of the assassination of Brother Malcolm Shabazz and a $2 million bounty on the head of our sister Asada Shakur.
I'll take your call at 770-875. 770-875. You're on live with Black Power Radio, General Taco Sean Kwali. Give us your question and your comment, Black Power.
Black power, is way late through I Africa. This is the Supreme Queen, Nadia Asad Shakur, sir. Salute to you.
Black power, revolutionary salute. What's your thoughts on the assassination of Malcolm Shabazz, the planned murder of our Queen Asada Shakur? Your thoughts?
Yes, sir. I've been analyzing this situation and watching the signs for several weeks now, and I believe that the movement has been slipping and tripping on our analysis of fascism, sir, because we have not upgraded our Ministry of Defense while fascism is steady upgrading to their next stage. We already analyzed that this is a neocolonial plot to destabilize black liberation, but we're not really watching the signs of how they're putting in subversive agents to destabilize us domestically within our own movement. They're doing the same tricks, but now they're twisting the game up. And when, if you notice, all of this happened at the same time that we've amplified our efforts for Trayvon Martin, we've amplified our efforts for Kendrick Johnson and several other cases all over the country. So we, the movement, you know, we have a responsibility to prepare the people. If the revolution fails, it's the fault of the Vanguard Party, not the people, comrades. So I really seriously feel as though it's time for their die-hard, serious, in-the-trenches revolutionaries to really strap their boots up and stop playing. I want to give a serious, serious revolutionary code of conduct to everybody that calls themselves a revolutionary on the line. Our people in the movement need to get it together, and right now is not the time to do anything to make yourself look like an agent, because I was taught that there are two forms of COINTELPRO, comrade: dumb niggas and paid agents. And we don't need any of them right now, because that's exactly what's going on with the case of the grandson of Malcolm X and with this extra bounty being up on our Queen Commander, Asada Shakur. So we are on the next level of fascism, and it's time for us to really and truly unite the black fighting formations. I keep hearing about a united black front, comrade. I keep hearing about a national truce, and all these things are going to really, really take us to the next level, but the underlying theory of all that is the unification of black fighting formations, sir. That's the only way we're going to be able to defend our people, like you and Brother General Taco was just saying. We have to unify the black fighting formations, and it's going to come from a proper Ministry of Defense. So that's my job as Queen Commander, sir. I've already put my life on the line and said I'm going to make sure my people are prepared, but I'm putting the call out to everybody else that's listening to Black Power Radio right now. If you call yourself a military leader in this movement, we need to go ahead and join with the Black United Formations and let's really be able to defend our people. Where's the emergency response? These are the things that we've talked about, we've laid out strategies for, but we have yet to really solidify them amongst all the groups that have those different capabilities, sir. So that's what I'm tired of. It's going down right now. It's very serious. It's 2013, and we told everyone in 2012 on Black Power Radio that the FBI said that the new Black Panther Party was the greatest threat to them, and they said they were going to take us down in 2013, and you don't think that that's not going to trickle down to all the other Panther formations?
No doubt about that. There's no doubt about that. And what you're saying goes right into point number one. As I read the goals, point number one, prevent the coalition of militant black nationalist groups or black groups. He said, because there's unity in strength. There's unity, Hoover say, in strength. He said, truism that is no less valid for all triteness, an effective coalition of black nationalist groups might be the first step towards a real Mau Mau in America, the beginning of a true black revolution. So what you're saying is right on time. That is what they fear the most. It is the black coalition, the black unity. And so every time we sneak up on unity with our people, or we come up on coming together. They saw a little bit with Trayvon Martin. They saw it a little bit with Katrina. Saw it a little bit during the L.A. rebellions. Every time we sneak up on coming together as a people, there's always those who are inserted. I told you all about the black leaders that are inserted, the top layer of black program leaders that are inserted to disrupt the unity. And I'm telling you all this, that as we push forward towards a national truce amongst gangs and so-called gang violence, and we push towards a truce towards organizational unity amongst black organizations that are not compromised, that don't work with the pig or the police, let me make that clear, that are not compromised and don't work with the pig or the police, all right, there will be those who are inserted amongst us to disturb this unity. There are going to be those, and there have been those, that are inserted amongst the Black Rider Liberation Party to disrupt that unity. There are those that will be inserted amongst the RNA, inserted amongst the Uhuru movement, inserted amongst the Nation of Islam, inserted amongst the Black Power Cartel, inserted amongst anybody who's out there organizing. You will have, if you don't already, have people inserted amongst your group to disrupt the unity. And bet your bottom dollar, there will be those who are inserted to stop the momentum of the Million Youth March. All right? So all of this is coming up, but what Sister said is absolutely right and exact. We must come together as a united front, not in some rhetoric way or some talky fashion. We got to work together on the principles. All us saying that we want to see the community better. All of us are saying we want to stop seeing our people beat over the head by the police billy club and nightsticks and tasers and shot to death. All of us are saying that we want to stop the chemical and biological warfare that is targeted and aimed directly at our people to keep us neutralized. All of us are saying that we want better education for our people that tells us and teaches us our true history and herstory in this present-day society. We all saying the same thing. We all saying we don't believe that we should be in the military fighting the white man's war for corporate greed. We all know that the death penalty is racist as it applies to our people. We all understand the penitentiaries and the jails and the prisons are being filled up with our people. We all know this. So if we all know that, and we all are saying the same thing, why can we not walk together on at least one of those points or two of those points or all of those points? Take another call here at area code 504-432-504-432. You're on live with Black Power Radio, General Taco, and Sean Saddam Kweli. Your question, your comment, Black Power.
Well, I'm going to see this my comment, Black Power, brother, and soul power.
Black
now,
Power, Black Power.
See, now, what I'm going to see with Malcolm Shabazz, all it was, they was afraid that he was going to continue to do his grandfather's work, and they didn't want that to happen, so they had to get rid of him.
No doubt about it.
That's what I believe in. And, you know, like I was saying, they don't want no Black Power movement. They're afraid, because if we would come together in unity, we like a bomb, and they don't want that.
Now, there's no doubt about it, brother. And it's important to what you said. They do not want a Black Power movement. I think it is important to note what Hoover said and what the COINTELPRO said, because it's just a continuation today. What they said about those who they viewed as potential In their words, messiahs are those who could unify the movement, as they talked about Martin King, and they said that Martin Luther King could have been that one. He could have been a real, in their words, contender, he said, for the position, should he abandon his supposed, and they got it in quotes, obedience to, quote, white liberal doctrines. All right? If he would have abandoned that obedience to white liberal doctrines, and then they got in brackets nonviolence, and embraced black nationalism, they knew that Martin King had the ability to unite our people. That's why they blew his brains out at the Lorraine Hotel in Memphis, Tennessee. That's why his face got blown off, a nonviolent man, black man in America,
and
face blown off.
I don't want to cut you off, but I really believe, this is my view, I really believe Huey Newton did not die over drug dispute. That's my view. I really believe there's something higher behind that. Now, I really believe that.
Hey, General Taco, you want to chime in on that, Minister Huey P. Newton?
To the people, man, oh, definitely. You know, they say a BGF member named Tyrone Robinson was the one who murdered him, but yet and still a contradictory report means that the brother Tyrone Robinson was in jail and was studying Huey P. Newton's paperwork, and that he was manipulated by other forces to even carry out the act, and he's a devout follower today of Huey P. Newton. I want to also say that I'm proud of Nadia Shakur, because that sister, you know, stood against all odds, because and 2007, the pigs in a joint terrorist task force raided our headquarters and brought two tanks, two armored vehicles, five SWAT teams, two Black Hawk helicopters, and it's still Nadia Shakur, Yana Shakur, and my very son stood against them demons and let them know it's still black power. So I'm just speaking up for the sister, and I want to check out her book called Cold Soul. I wish
that's
the
right.
Would call me to call me. And let's really sit to the side. We don't want to expose this on the line. Let's really get down to some deep shit. Put me on the Ministry of Defense. That's what I'm talking about, so we can push this line to a whole nother level. Call me. Let's set the plan. Let's set the responses and the retaliations that's necessary to deal with these demons. Power to the people.
Power to the people. And there you have it. Those are some important facts for those who are interested in what really happened to Minister and Dr. Huey P. Newton. We do not believe, as our brother said on the line, we do not believe that he was killed in some drug deal gone bad. He had enough power and enough runners that if he needed some drugs, he could have sent somebody, as he sometimes did. We don't believe that. We know through certain outlets, we know our brother was hit. He was assassinated. And so, brother, you're right on the money with that. And again, it just paints the picture that we lose too many leaders through silly circumstances. People will be at the lectures, they'll be at the rallies, you know, they'll be at different events. But when it comes time to covering down on our warriors and our soldiers, some of these people do not show up. Some of us don't show up. The Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad, the Black Power General, in his last address in New York City, he did not have, some of you don't know this, but he did not have adequate security from those at that time who were supposed to be in the new Black Panther Party and who were supposed to be rolling with him and covering down on him. All right, he had those like Minister Hashim and Zinger. He had those like Divine Allah. Of course, Attorney Malik Shabazz, who always covering down and doing what they were supposed to do. But there were others out there, and you know who you are. Not even in the ranks today. But you know who you are. You were supposed to be there with Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. And you know he texted you. You know he tried to get in touch with you. But you didn't show up. This happens too many times. The security with Malcolm X didn't cover down on him. Didn't hold him down. Brother got a man got in the crowd and said, get your hand out of my pocket, a second time, because it happened two times. It was a dry run on Malcolm, a couple of dry runs. And then this last time, the security left the post, left Minister Malcolm uncovered, and assassins came and took him away. How many more leaders do we have to lose like this? I'm going to go to the phone line again. And, brother, thank you so much for your call. And I appreciate your comments. Black power.
Black power.
And soul power. Next caller here, your area code is 951-756. 951-756. You're on with Black Power Radio. Our guest, Brother Taco Shakur and Sean Kwali. Black power.
Mod Hotep, Black African Power Brothers.
Shemhotep and Black Power. How are you, sir?
I had a question, brother. You know, the thing with Brother Shabazz, you know, really got me heated. You know, really got a fire in my belly. How long is we going to sit around and let our black leaders be assassinated before grabbing arms and defending our brothers?
Brother Taco, that's to you, sir. Let's see if he's still on with us.
Power to the people.
All right, power to the people. Go right ahead, sir.
Yeah, the thing is, we first got to raise our consciousness. Those who are involved in liberation organizations, we are the first ones who need to open our eyes and think the right thoughts to take the right action. We have to first accept that George Jackson, Huey P. Newton, Malcolm X, and even Martin Luther King is not coming back.
Right.
We have to understand that in order to win, we have to take the first step. We all have to struggle to the highest level. We have to kill and die while people struggle today. It is not a game. If we did all that stupid shit to each other, doing gang banging, selling dope, pimping, hoeing, and all that other wild shit, why we don't go as extreme once we aware? It's a responsibility for you. It's a responsibility for me. It's a responsibility for Malisha Bar, Sean Kwai Lee, and everybody who claims pantherism. We must all first take the first step to deal with these demons. It is everybody's responsibility if you accept Africa as your homeland. Power to the people.
Power to the people.
I must just say this. In the words of Dr. Clark, you know, my black skin is my armor and I wear it well. My thing is, brother, it's been happening for too long. It's been going on for years. We lose a king or a queen, and no actions happens. And it's just, you know, we sit around and we chant, and we can get the best lectures to touch the hearts of our people. But, you know, this cracker sitting back laughing at us because we ain't pushing no actions. Now, we should all be on the front line slaying this cracker.
Yeah, I have to say that, you know, I can't say that's altogether true. I won't tell you how I know. I'm not saying that I know for the FBI listed on the phone. But sometimes there are cases that when, and I know I'll cite one case in specific, that when Minister Malcolm X was hit, that blood dripped in the streets. And as Minister E.P. Newton talked about, you got to have an above ground and an underground. It's a lot of that work, which is why the BLA came into existence in the first place, was because they understood that underground work had to be handled by the soldiers, and you had to let those who was above ground be above ground. You know, but I'll let that be what that is. But I feel you.
Power to the people, bro. Power to the people.
Yes, sir.
I just want to tell the brothers that it depends on how you look at it, like you just said. Like, check game, right? The thing is, out here in L.A., we've been pushing something called the Watch a Pig program. Now, if you study the thoughts...
I'm from L.A., brother.
Okay, check me out, though, bro. When you study the thoughts of George Jackson and understand that there is plenty of responses going on, and it has always went on, our people have continued to struggle and to defy and resist these demons, right? P-Gang, even on the plantation, if it wasn't nothing but the mommy that was inside of the house cooking for the slave master, and she ground up glass and put it in the demon's food so he can piss blood.
That's right.
For resistance. Also, today when we look at what we're doing with the Watch a Pig program, out here, brother, we actually patrol the police, and we make sure if these demons put their hands on our people, we're going to defend our people. We jumping in. We ain't playing no games. We're going to back them out and smash on them. See, these are all forms of resistance. There's responses murders and retaliations going on every day and has been going on for 17 years. The comrades in Oakland have developed the Watch and Pity program. And this is some above-ground legal shit that we can do to deliver a response. You feel me? These are actual steps that we must first take in order for us to be successful. Before there's an underground, we must have an above-ground aggressive political group that's going to step forth to educate the people. See, in order to be successful, we have to begin to develop and grow our forces. We can't just be on these radios talking. We must be out on the street and start patrolling the police and showing our people through action, not just through words, but through action, too. The pen and the sword. These are the small tactics we must begin to do in order to get to the bigger tactics. This is what we must understand. So I encourage you, brother, right now, that you tell me what you tell me, ask Sean Quayle for my number, and I want you to start taking the first step in doing a Watch and Pity program. I will personally teach you how to do it so we can begin to make the correct responses so you can build up the forces to deal with these demons properly. We must all unify these forces together to deal with the demons. You build forces, I build forces, Malisha Paul build forces, and therefore we will unite and deal with these demons. Power to the people.
Power to the people. I'm down with that, brother. Brother Sean, shoot me that brother info. I'm always down for the front line for my people. I put my life on the line for my people. Our people, you know what I'm saying? Right now, everybody's saying, you know, we need unity, but we got problems amongst ourselves. You got all these groups and organizations that find little things that cause separations between each other and say, well, oh, I hate this brother for this reason. I hate this brother for that reason. Still, you want to yell out your mouth, black power, but it ain't no unity. So we got to fix the structure within ourselves first.
That's right. That's right. I definitely be telling everybody that we must unite around Pan-Africanism because that will solve all of that. And that's one thing that I saw amongst the revolutionaries in our mother country that I do not see enough of here in the States is that regardless to what their spirituality is, what their background is, they whatever they do for a living, they come together on their blackness. They ain't tripping. I mean, they have regular issues like everybody else. But they come together on their blackness. And if more of us here on the soil here can do that, we won't have so many problems. But I'm going to shoot you, brother, Taco's number. I got your number. I'll make sure you have it, my brother.
Shoot me all the resources you can, man, because, you know, I'm tired of this going on with our people, man. We got to stand together and do something. Front line up, man. RBG.
All right, brother.
Black African Power.
Black African Power. RBG for life. I mean, very important, and thank you, my brother, for your comments there. That, I mean, we are frustrated. Listen, family, the frustration is real. The frustration of us every time we organize, every time we raise somebody from one of our black woman's womb, our black queen's wombs, that will unite our people, whether male or female, that always comes some slinking devil or somebody paid by this beast to take them out. And I'm telling us this, that we're going to have to cover down. We're going to have to cover down. There's no way that Malcolm Shabazz should have ever been in Mexico by himself, if that's even the case. If that's even the case. And I'm telling you, Manuel Suarez or Miguel Suarez has some explaining to do. He has some serious explaining to do. I mean, it's really puzzling to me that he has not, to my knowledge as of yet, contacted the family. He has not talked to the closest comrades. You know, the contacts that, you know, people say they have is going to voicemail and all kind of things. It's troubling. I'm saying this for Rupek and for Miguel and all of them that's listening. If you catch this broadcast, get in touch with the people you need to get in touch with and answer them questions. And don't duck them questions. If you can make a statement to the Associated Press, then damn it, you owe his mama. You owe his mama an explanation, his mother an explanation, as she had to bury her boy not long before Mother's Day, and not too many days before the birth date of the great minister Malcolm X. You owe that black woman that, and you owe the black nation that, and we want to know. We want to know what happened to our brother. And again, we're deeply concerned about what's going on with Sister Queen Warrior Sada Shakur. And we already know that Comandante Castro, we already know he know what to do. We already know the Castro family know what to do. We ain't got to offer you no advice. We're just saying for any of you bootlickers down there, on the inside, you betrayers down there, turncoats down there, that even have the thought in your mind of coughing up our sit to this devil, you're going to wish that you had never been born. You're going to wish the black nation is going to make you wish you never was born. The God of our forefathers and foremothers, the same thing. You're going to wish you was never born. If you betray our sister into the hands of our 400-plus-year-old enemy and turn over to the beast to be dealt with in any cruel fashion or to be murdered, you're going to wish that. I'm not telling anybody to do anything. I'm telling you about universal karma. And so I think that we are off of the live stream. I think that we are off of the live stream, and now we're on to the after show. And so we're not going to be long, but we definitely have to continue to be strong and have to stay strong. I'll take another call here at area code 215-280. 215-280. You're on live with Black Power Radio. We're talking about the bounty on the head of Sister Asada Shakur and the assassination of the grandson of Minister Malcolm X, Brother Malcolm Latif Shabazz. Black Power, your question, your comment. Welcome to the show.
Black Power, listen to your show.
I just wanted
to touch on what y'all were just talking about for minutes ago. One man called up and said, the reason why we can't build because we all have different, you know what I mean, ways of views, personality, spiritual, whatever it may be, you know what I mean, which is true. So I've been listening to this show, you know what I mean, and we cannot build, period. We cannot build unless we all come to one grip and get rid of our slave master religion, period. Black Power, I'm out.
All right, Black Power, caller, thank you for that. We appreciate that, and it's true. That was something that the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad taught all the time, was that we had to put down. He first taught that we were robbed of our name. We were robbed of our language. He'd say robbed of our culture, our folkways, forays, norms, and robbed the power of our own being. And he'd say by the way that we act, we lost our minds. All right, so there's a lot of things that we've been robbed and it's been taken from us. And what had been given to us was the spiritualities or the bastardized versions of spiritualities given to us by our enemy and given to us straight up by the white man. And so, of course, their bastardized spiritualities, whatever they are, got to get rid of them. Got to get our original names, our original culture, our original folkways and forays. Got to get the original stuff because guess what? As the Honorable Kwame Ture taught, who was the real founder of the Black Panther Party here in the West, make no mistake about it, he said, we're all African people. We're all from Mama Africa. So we can't be anti-Semitic because we come from a Semitic people. Can't be anti-Jewish because Judaism, of course, coming up out of Mama Africa, can't be anti-Islamic because all of that come from Mama Africa. Even the original Christians or Coptic or Ethiopian Christians come out of Mama Africa. But it was nothing like this European bastardized white version, white supremacist ideology given to us to make us to worship white people. Where you got a white Last Supper and a white this and a white that and everything. The angels is white. Everything is white. And white is right and all this. No, sir, no, ma'am. Go back to the original, blackness. Go back to that. That's why, you know, again, we talk about your faith and your fight. So I'm right there with you, caller. And as I said, as I was, you know, my times in the mother continent, I saw our people. Our people are our spiritual people. We got all kind of spiritualities. We got African spiritualities. We got a lot of stuff that's there, all right? But even with that, they're still revolutionaries. The difference is that we become divided with our stuff. We start fighting each other over the different systems of spirituality instead of fighting the cracker and instead of fighting the beast, instead of making, you know, our enemies regret oppressing us. And so that's the difference. And so we appreciate it. take another call in. Caller, thank you so much for your call. Take another call here. Area code 813-401. 813-401. You're on live. Black Power Radio. We're talking about the assassination of Brother Malcolm Latif Shabazz and the $2 million bounty placed on Sister Asada Shakur. Give me your thoughts, please, and Black Power to you.
All power to the people, Black Power. This is Chief of Staff of Sheridan Williams down in Tampa, Florida.
All power to the people, Black Power.
We put down the biggest and the baddest protest right in front of the FBI building last week for our sister, our dear sister. And, you know, it's so funny how these goddamn alphabet boys, these goddamn pigs, these purple motherfuckers, these pink bitches want to goddamn get mad because we call for the same type of vigilante justice when that cracker shot and killed that innocent child down in Sanford, Florida. So how dare you, the pot calling the kettle black, what's good for the goose will always remain what's good for the gander. Okay? What they did to our dear brother Malcolm, every black person in America needs to be in an uproar right now. But, you know, just like the brother said, you know, a few calls back, you know, this is what the Negro has done. We have become too cozy with these goddamn crackers, taking on the alert behavior of these crackers. And it's time that we get back to our original state of mind, and that's black power. And anyone under the sound of my voice who does not want to be under the rule, under the leadership of black power, you need to go kill your goddamn self. We are not to be cozy with these goddamn crackers. Look at
that's
me,
real
these
talk.
Motherfuckers trying to send me to prison for 15 years behind that bounty call. 15 years. If I got to do one goddamn day in prison, shame on the black race. Shame on the black race if I got to go to prison for making that call.
Give us the updates on the case itself. What is the current standing of your case?
The only thing they offered me is 15 years prison.
15 years prison.
I ain't shoot nobody. I ain't kill nobody. Stood up for justice. Stood up. It took them 2.5 years to even bring the charge against me. 2.5 years to bring the charge against me. I sold the property in 2011. So you want to wait almost 3 years later to arrest me, saying that the property didn't belong to me? Well, if the property didn't belong to me, that means it didn't belong to the man who sold it to me.
Two years. Because I had studied it some, but I didn't know the intricate details. Me and you haven't had a chance to really talk like we need to. And so you said they offer you 15 years with a property that's 2 years old. We're going to have to talk off of the radio and get down to the nitty-gritty of what's happening with you. Brothers and sisters, this is Sister Michelle Williams, who many of you know, a comrade and soldier and warrior activist who is famous now, really internationally famous, not to pump you up, but it is what it is, internationally famous for cursing out the cracker. And the crackers got mad and jumped all over our sister. And as she was standing up, you know, they tried, as they always do, as they did Jesse and so many others, that when they got something on you, what they believe they got something on you, they try to reach back into the old trick bag and try to put you in a trick bag. But as it say, they plan and God plan, and God is the best of planners. And so me and you going to have to talk off of the air, Michelle, and see what's really happening, because we have not had a chance to build. But again,
not at all. But you know, let's get past that. Let me go ahead and share with my sisters and brothers on the line. The Tampa chapter of the NDPP, we now have a free, you hear me, a free community thrift store where I get online, these people having these garage sales and giving away this barely used furniture. People have been calling, giving me free refrigerators, freezers, dishwashers, stoves, furniture, clothing, non-perishable foods. Sunday before last, we fed over 703 people at the Salvation Army, the NDPP. And I told the lady, she told me, well, why do you all have to come in your uniform? If you don't want us to come in our uniform, then you don't want these crackers fed. You don't want the people fed, period.
Y'all are doing the work.
You can't help. That's just the thing about it. That is the thing about it, Brother Sean. They so angry because, see, they're trying to make me into this beast. They're trying to make me into this beast, and they know that I've never been it. They know that I see what it was. These white people, they thought that they were building up the next black leader for them. So it hurt their feelings that I had to call them. I'm going to quote myself. To all of you honkies, you crackers, you pigs, you pig people, and you popping motherfuckers, that shit ain't going to never goddamn change. I didn't apologize then, a year ago, and goddamn it, I'm even stronger today. Now what?
All right, black power, and that's what it is. That's what it is. Sister Michelle Williams, Black with a Vengeance. Black with a Vengeance on Black Power Radio, and it's definitely good to hear from you, Queen. And as I say, we're going to just build off of the air because I don't want you to, you know, say nothing that's going to make it hard for you to, you know, get out this cracker's noose or get out the beast noose. But
Sean, let me tell you something, brother. The only thing that they're mad about is because I won't get myself in front of them TV cameras and say, oh, white people, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I called you a cracker. I'm sorry that I called you a honky. I'm sorry that I called you a pig.
Yeah, that's what they're mad about. You should have to apologize, and you for damn sure don't shed no more tears for this cracker. I'm saying it publicly. You don't shed not one tear. Our black women have been crying too long for what this cracker has done to our people, and you ain't got nothing to cry about. You hold your head up, and you walk strong, and you walk tall, and you stand on truth.
Black power.
Black power. And that's Sister Michelle Williams, I'm glad to hear from him. Pleasantly surprised to hear from my sister, who, again, the beast jumped all over me, jumped all over her, as we were discussing the issue of our brother who was also assassinated, Trayvon Martin. We're talking about Brother Trayvon and talking about what it would take. As you are murdering us in the streets and killing us in the streets and killing us in cold blood and the steps that it takes in self-defense. And so, hell, we're going to have to, again, organize in a real way to keep our sister out of the beast's clutch. And Attorney Malik Shabazz had already said a few weeks back that we want to keep our people out of the clutch of the beast unnecessarily. We don't want nobody to become political prisoners or to be added to the political prisoner list unnecessarily. And so me and that sister going to build and others going to build because, I, like I say, I have not had a chance to talk to her like I need to, but we're going to talk. And that's my word to you, sis. Let me bring Brother Taco Black on because I think he fell off. But Taco, you on with us?
Power to the people.
All right, power to the people. Good to have you back on, Black man. I know you feel like you fell off for a second. All right.
So I just want to say we fully support Michelle Williams to the fullest. You know, if you ever need some help out there in Florida, we down to come out there in that weather and smash with you. Fuck them pigs. We should support you to the fullest. Power to the people.
Power to the people. There's no doubt about it. Sister Michelle Williams is going to need all the support possible and a strong showing of support, strong legal support, and a lot of things. And we cannot accept that beast talking about 15 years or 11 years or no years. None of that for some old faulty property she didn't even own. We're not going to get into it. But, like I say, we'll build. We're going to build. But definitely, Sister Michelle Williams, that's to you, Sister. General Taco and the comrades, got your back, got your support, and they're going to ride with you. We riding with you. Let me take another call here as we push forward. On area code 904705, area code 904705, you're on live with Black Power Radio, Sean Kwali, General Taco. We're talking about Malcolm Shabazz, Assata Shakur, assassinations and bounties. Give us your comment, your question, Black Power. 904705, you have a question or comment for us? All right. Maybe just listening. Area code 347-218. You're on live with Black Power Radio. You're on with General Taco. Sean Kwali, your question, your comment, please, Black Power.
Black Power, brother.
Hey, Black Power.
This is Brother Supreme from from New York chapter.
Black
under,
Power, sir. How are you?
Under Brother Shahid.
Yes, sir.
I'm listening to the conversation, man. I'm really, you know, it's really sad what's going on, brother. You know what I'm saying? And
yes,
we
sir.
Got a brother out here in New York, brother Hannibal. He's
yes, sir.
He's added to the list of political prisoners right now. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He's being imprisoned unlawfully, you know, over some nonsense. So, you know, it's a thing like that out here too. You know, New York is, you know, we just had a death. You know, police brutality out here is on the rise. And, you know, we just had a young brother killed in Brooklyn, Brother Kiki Kamani Gray. You know, he was another brother killed out here not too long ago. So we pushed, you know, he was assassinated. Yes, a young brother shot 7 times. And I went out to, you know, quite a few rallies out there in Brooklyn. And it's really sad. It's a police state out there right now, brother. You know, it's really sick out here. You know, New York is like, you know, like it's under police state right now. So, you know, we need a lot of that help going on. And I'm definitely for that Million Youth March because I went to the one that Dr. Khalid did back in Harlem. And that was a powerful movement. And the pigs try to break that up and try to, you know, move on him. And he had a lot of protection around him. So he was able to, you know, withstand that pressure that the pigs brought up upon him. So, you know, I'm saying Black Power, and, you know, we're going to keep this movement going, brother. Black Power.
Yeah, Black Power. And I appreciate your comments on that, brother, because, you know, there is no guarantee that, of course, now everything that we do, we keep everything as safe and secure as possible. But there is no guarantee that they may not try to fight Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz in doing the Million Youth March or what have you. We don't say that. We don't expect any violence or nothing like that. But I'm just saying, you know how this beast is. But we're going to organize for the youth, and the youth must be organized in 2013 in an effective manner and put towards the right direction, starting first with this national truce. Again, keep that on your minds, brothers and sisters. National truce. Settle your differences. Settle your quarrels. Settle your disputes. If we're beefing in organizations, we're beefing with other members, beefing with another brother or sister, what have you, let's settle that. Let's get us a council of elders or a body of elders or however we got to do it. Or let's go by the laws of Mayotte, however we got to do it. Let's settle our differences because starting June the 1st, we're kicking off a national truce for the black community, black organizations, so-called gangs, so-called gangs and street tribes, kicking that off, and it will happen. It will happen. For those of you who are naysayers and say, oh, black people, they ain't going to have no truce, we're having a truce. We're having a truce. The white man made all kind of peace treaties with the Indians and everybody else, and he broke them. They broke them. We're making peace treaties, and we're keeping the peace treaties amongst our people. And this is where a Ministry of Defense will also come in. A Ministry of Justice will also come in to ensure that everybody is being dealt with fairly and righteously and that we are able to enforce our own codes on our own community. This is nothing to do with Judge Judy and no white law. This is black law. We're enforcing our own codes in our own community with our own people. All right? National truce. So again, General Taco has already committed and said him and his comrades and our comrades are going to help. They're on their end. They're going to organize with the OGs and those that can make those kind of power moves. We're going into the different streets on the street level and use our connections as well to pull people together, stop the violence in the community, work on defending our babies and our elders and our children, and turn this thing around in a righteous manner. And push towards organizing the youth and getting them to New York City for the Million Youth March. And that push towards self-determination going into the future and beyond. I'll take another call here. Let me see if we got some more calls. Another caller here, area code 562-607. 562-607. You're on live with Black Power Radio. Brother General Taco, Sean Kweli, talking about the assassination of Brother Malcolm L. Shabazz and the bounty on Sister Asada Shakur. Black Power, your question, your comment, please. Let's see, did we lose you? Still on with us, caller? All right, look like we lost that caller there. Area code 973-210, 973-210. You're on live. Give us your question, your comment. What's your thoughts on the matter? Hey, peace. His call fell off. All right, 562-607, 562-607. Give us your question, your comment, please. Let's get it in here. Eric, call 562-607. You're on Black Power Radio. All right. And so, I mean, let's leave well enough alone. All right. But our brothers and sisters, General Taco, you got any closing comments, my brother? Hey, power to the people. Closing comments, my brother.
Yeah, I just want to say to all the listeners out there, you know, at times when I talk on the radio, I know I appear just hyper-aggressive and ready just to take off, you know, and that's true. But I just want to say that in the movement, in order for us to get over all the issues between each other, we have to accept that within the Army, you have scholars, healers, and killers. Khalid Muhammad taught me that. He's the first person that even opened my eyes to white supremacy and capitalism and the need for us to develop African culture. So we need scholars, healers, and killers. And all I want to be is not some big old leader trying to tell people what to do. I just want to be like Khalid Muhammad and be the pet bull at the gate. The pet bull at the gate is ready to tear shit up, to amplify shit, to get shit popping. And that's why I love Khalid Muhammad. Black power.
Black power. And that's my same spirit. And brother, thank you for being on with us. We honored always to have you on. And, of course, the comrades is with you in the Central Committee, the Black Rider Liberation Party, and all of those. We love you to death. Really, we say we love you to life. And revolutionary salutes and appreciations to you. And I look forward to doing this work, definitely. It's our brother, General Taco, T-A-C-O, taking all capitalists out. General Taco, Wolverine Shakur, the general of the Black Riders Liberation Party, who's on with us and detailing his thoughts and his really his future plans on progressing the movement along with us here in the new Black Panther Party and all Panther formations. And we give revolutionary salutes to him and those with him for receiving that honor from our sister Kathleen Cleaver, who you know is a decorated warrior in this movement. And we appreciate her for blessing them with that honor. And, of course, look forward to having her on the show in due time. And we push forward, family. We push forward in this mission. And I know that, you know, many of our hearts are heavy and that we're upset at the loss of our brother. And we're upset over the increased bounty over on our sister's head. But I say in this hour, do not fret. Do not fret at what you see on the TV screen or in the streets, in the alley, or even at our doors. It's all an illusion. We're at the last stages of imperialism, as taught by Kwame Nkrumah, the Honorable Kwame Nkrumah. We're at the last stages of colonialism. We are at the last stages of racism. These are the last stages of Zionism. The last stages of even sexism and artificial borders. Everything that has separated us as a people and all that has separated us as a nation, it is in its death stages. And so what you're witnessing is a wild, crazy, deranged death throw by an old world order, an old, not a new thing, but an old thing. Established 6,000 years ago to break the rule of black and brown and red people on the planet, break the original people. And now it's in its last stages. And so you're witnessing the Gestapo tactics, and you're witnessing the sniper tactics, the assassination. You're witnessing with your own eyes those who they believe can thwart, or as my brother General Taco say, put a cog in the wheel, put a cog or stop the rotation of the wheel in imperialism. You're witnessing now them trying to take out however they can those who they believe would be the ones to do it. But, you know, word to the unwise, word to you all, it's not one man, it's not one woman, it's us, it's power to the people. It's all power to the people. It's black power for black people, all right? And so it's us. If you know, as we say, as the OGs say, in my conclusion, our conclusion, Panthers born every 5 seconds in the ghetto, a freedom fighter, a struggler born every 5 seconds in oppression. So every time you try to cut a Malcolm Shabazz down, every time you increase the bounty on an Assad Shakur, every time you put embargoes against Zimbabwe and President Robert Mugabe, and every time that you try to stop the progress of those freedom fighters who see you clearly and who are very clear that you are our enemy, that imperialism and capitalism and all that you promote is our enemy, and that it must be uprooted for our people's survival, that there will be another one that pops up with the same ideology and the same spirit and the same zeal, and they come at you, and they will come at you harder, even if it's generations down the road, even if it's 3 or 4 generations down the road. When you thought you cut down Fred Hampton, and you thought you cut down Mark Clark, and you thought you cut down Kwame Ture, you thought you cut down Khalid Muhammad, you thought you cut down Marcus Garvey, you thought you cut them all down. But then there arose others. There arose others like the Black Riders Liberation Party, like the New Black Panther Party. There arose others who carried the struggle on. And so my advice to all of us is to lace up our boots, to get our soldierly bearings, get our minds clear, get your hearts clear, get your spirit clear and your soul clear, and get right on the revolutionary square. Get right on the revolutionary square and go to work for your people. And if we are to avert J. Edgar Hoover's plans and FBI plans and the devilish technology plans of our enemy to stop the rise of a black messiah, it will be averted by us going to do the work, the unfashionable, the non-Hollywood, no cameras work of politically educating our people and revolutionarily standing up our people to walk into their destiny, give them their culture back, teach them about their true history, their true names, give them that sense of pride back, and stand them up to protect their communities and take self-determination. And so with that said, brothers and sisters, it's black power to black people. It's all power to the people. And remember, I told you here on Black Power Radio, in the spirit of a great warrior who fell in battle, Brother Malcolm Latif Shabazz, that if black people are not free, there's nobody that's free. Black Power.
I would like to make a few comments concerning the difference between the black revolution and the Negro revolution. There's a difference. When you study the historic nature of revolutions, the motive of a revolution, the objective of a revolution, and the result of a revolution, and the methods used in a revolution, you may change words. You may devise another program. You may change your goal and you may change your mind. Look at the American Revolution in 1776. That revolution was for what? For land. How was it? Why did they want land? Independence. How was it carried out? Bloodshed. Number one, it was based on land, the basis of independence. And the only way they could get it was bloodshed. The French Revolution, what was it based on? The landless against the landlord. What was it for? Land. How did they get it? Bloodshed. Was no love lost. Was no compromise. Was no negotiation. I'm telling you, you don't know what our revolution is. Because when you find out what it is, you'll get back in the alley. You'll get out of the way. The Russian Revolution. What was it based on? Land. The landless against the landlord. How did they bring it about? Bloodshed. You haven't got a revolution that doesn't involve bloodshed. And you're afraid to bleed. I said you're afraid to bleed. Long as the white man sent you to Korea, you bled. He sent you to Germany, you bled. He sent you to the South Pacific to fight the Japanese, you bled. You bleed for white people. But when it comes time to seeing your own churches being bombed and little black girls murdered, you haven't got no blood. So I cite these various revolutions, brothers and sisters, to show you, you don't have a peaceful revolution. You don't have a turn-the-other-cheek revolution. There's no such thing as a nonviolent revolution. Only kind of revolution that's nonviolent is the Negro Revolution. The only revolution based on loving your enemy is the Negro Revolution. The only revolution in which the goal is a desegregated lunch counter, a desegregated theater, a desegregated park, and a desegregated public toilet. You can sit down next to white folks on the toilet. That's no revolution. Revolution is based on land. Land is the basis of all independence. Land is the basis of freedom, justice, and equality. The white man knows what a revolution is. How do you think he'll react to you when you learn what a real revolution is? You don't know what a revolution is. If you did, you wouldn't use that word. A revolution is bloody. Revolution is hostile. Revolution knows no compromise. Revolution overturns and destroys everything that gets in its way.